American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, November 10th, 2008. It's a brand new day and a brand new month and a brand new world where we've got a black president of the United States of America. And let me tell you, I don't mind telling you that for the first time in a long while, I've had new direction on the afternow. Because the after now, as you may understand it, is what would have happened if McCain had won. So I'm really pleased with the fact that Obama won. Maybe I'm so horribly delusioned. Maybe I've drank the Kool-Aid. You know, it's possible. It's possible. But let me have this moment of bliss where I would sit back and for a little short while, we are, because, I mean, this is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this. And we're going to talk more about this because you are listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global Sit Rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing, especially distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all of these news stories. And you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to Sean, S-E-A-N, underscore Kennedy, dot live journal. com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, W1Y Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Non-Surveyum Radio, Osprey Networks, CreekRadio.net, Radio Red Mercury, as well as we broadcast every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Pacific, which is the same as Second Lifetime, in Node Archers, 1557466. So, you know, is foretold in the prophecy, which really, I mean, everybody should say that before they say anything. You know, you got a book report to do, stand up. Just before you start anything, just say, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, as foretold in prophecy. And then you carry on with the rest of your presentation about the TPS Works reports. Very, very good. So, hey, come on, let's talk about Barack Obama. I mean, my dad was kind of a crazy guy. I remember him saying, oh, there'll be a black president before that ever happens. Kind of like the same way people would say that, you know, people would be skating to work in hell. You know what I mean? When hell freezes over. That's kind of what it was like. And to be honest with you, I mean, living in Canada, I don't live around a lot of black people. I never have. So actually, growing up, race was never an issue. You know what I mean? Like, so my own personal viewpoint, and I get in trouble for this all the time. Actually, more obviously for ignorance, because I'll say something that I don't understand that I'm saying. There's a great Newfie story, which I'll tell you in a minute. But it kind of sums up the way Canadians are. You know, we don't really understand the whole racism thing. Maybe, I mean, I know that there used to be a slave trade in Canada. I know that, but, like, we don't understand it. It's just not, we're not wired that way. We don't get the whole slave thing. We really don't. So the whole concept is that, like, it's like our eye color or our hair color. So, you know, but I know down in the States, it's a big deal. Like, there was riots and stuff. I knew this guy one time, and he was from the East Coast. On the East Coast of Canada, everybody calls everybody boy, especially around Newfoundland. It's like, hey, boy, what's going on, boy? Hey, boy, what's up? You know, and it's like as informal a greeting as all gets out. So this young Newfoundlander who doesn't know much about much goes and gets himself in a bit of a trip and winds up in Detroit. Walks into a bar, like any good Newfoundlander would, sits his ass down, orders a beer from the 900-pound bouncer-slash-bartender, oh wait, and it's actually a black man in a black bar in a really bad part of town, and this was in the early 70s. And he says, hey boy, can I get a beer down here? The whole bar, right, you can imagine now, you know, the whole bar stops. And they're looking at this guy. Now this guy is maybe, you know, 5'8", 145 pounds. So everyone's looking around wondering why this white guy's trying to commit suicide in this bar right about now, right? So the bartender comes over and they says, what did you just say to me? And the guy repeated, because now he's, you know, Newfoundlanders are not stupid people. He's now very aware of the fact that he's going to die. So he just repeated verbatim, word for word, what he said slowly and very carefully in case there was some misunderstanding, because clearly it's not something he said. Well, he said, do you understand what what you're saying here. Where are you from? And once he explained he was from Newfoundland, and he kind of played the dumb card at that point. It's like, at this point, when you can look like a village idiot, it's good to do that. And they all sort of like, oh, they kind of start turning into this big laugh about how crazy Newfoundlanders are. Which, personally, I don't think they're crazy. I think they're faking it. But anyway, it's a great story, but it really illustrates the ignorance when it comes to Canada and racism. We don't really understand it. You know, we don't. I mean, there's some racial tension between natives and Canadians. I know there's a lot of First Nations problems there, something about them being really pissed off about us, you know, essentially committing genocide on their people, which, you know, they kind of got a point. You know, you got to give them credit. You know, we did kind of do that. So this is the price you pay, right? This is what you've got to deal with. And it's touchy. And people get emotions all wrapped up in this stuff. The funny thing about all this, though, is that racism is like... racism just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Racism and memory are tied up really tightly. You know what I mean? Like nationalism. If you get, like, for example, this show is truly international. We're listened to all over the world. People inside of... I get mail from Latvia, Bosnia. I get mail from China, Cuba. Like, you name it, man. You name it. If the internet goes there, newsreel is being pumped out. And one of these days, you know, honestly, if somebody could... If server so bequeaths it, I'd love to get a list sometime of just listeners. Just go through all my records and just come up with all the different countries where people regularly listen. Not just the one-timers. I mean, like, ones where guys are giving out CDs and stuff. You know, all over the world. I know America, like, the WOGs own America. That's just how it is. That's why Obama won the election. It's all us. Yeah, we'll take credit for that one. But, no, seriously, it's an amazing, amazing thing to have that kind of cross-cultural media. So I put it to you that what if we just forget about being Americans and Canadians and Chinese and Cuban and just forget about the fact that we're all different races too. Just for a minute now, you know, hey, come on, we're all just screwing around up here. Can't take nothing I say seriously, but so just try it on. You know, try it on. Pretend like, you know what, screw the whole thing. We're all earthlings. We're all earthlings, right? You could think, you know, that we're the WOG. You know, we're WOGs. That's what WOGs are. I mean, generally, WOGs are Earthlings. But, you know, we're not against opening up WOGdom to, you know, alien life. You know, I mean, however it could be defined. But that's a whole nother subject. Jeez, I'm feeling great about this whole Barack Obama thing. You know, honest to God, I really am. I really am. And furthermore, that's why I'm feeling better about the after now, because I just imagine all the policies that would have gone into place if McCain had won, and it becomes like this total, like, dark future kind of concept. Whether or not it's actually accurate, I can hear Smokehouse right now. He's screaming at the top of his lungs. You know, he hates me. But, you know, honestly, I just kind of imagine what it would have been under my own, you know, whether or not it's accurate. And that gives me a really good taste for the afternoon, which, believe you me, it's November 10th right now. Hey, I'm here to tell you, NaNoWriMo's going on, the National Novel Writers Month. If anybody isn't involved with that, I know Phoenix Waller's involved with it. My good buddy Mike Swain, one of the greatest writers I've ever met. Actually, her name is Melody. I'm not going to give you a last name. But, yeah, Melody is one of the greatest writers I've ever met. Fantastic woman. She's always doing it. Very, very proud of her. But, yeah, NaNoWriMo's going on. And, of course, tomorrow is Remembrance Day. Holy cow! It was like November 5th, first black president, the end of the Mayan New Year is all approaching, and... oh, my God! You know, there's a lot of stuff all seems to kind of line up. You know? But, Anyway, let's get into some feedback here. I'm 8 minutes into the show. Sean, currently I live in America. I'm a long-time listener. I'm doing my own research, and I do my own research, and I do believe that you would be able to give me good, unbiased answer. I would like to know your opinion on the socialized medical system in Canada. How do you feel about it? Do you think healthcare in Canada works? And if, when you are in the hospital, do you get medical care fast, and is it good medical care? Yeah, that's a great question. It's a great question. I'll tell you why it's a great question. Because I am not a complainer, okay? There are problems with the Canadian medical system, without a doubt, okay? And I could go on for days and days and days and days about all the problems about that's in the Canadian medical system. But while I'm doing that, while I'm going on talking about it, there are going to be children who die from malnourishment. There are going to be children who die because they do not have proper medical care. There will be children who die in first world countries, because they cannot afford medicine. This is very disturbing to me. Okay, I do not want to live in a world that's part of the mainstream. I think that if you're sick, If a woman is sick and we have the technology and the means to help them, why do we not help them? You know, and a lot of people, they go against that. They're like, well, you know, if they can't pay for it, well, you know, why don't we just shoot them? You know, because that's really what you're saying here. Because if you deny people medical care who need medical care, they will die. Right? So, you have to kind of, I think I found out what that hum was. I got rid of the hum, too. But honestly, if you deny people medical care who need medical care, they will die. And some people, then they get on this whole Darwinian down-pressure eugenics thing. We got to understand, to answer your question about the medical system in Canada, we have to come to one basic conclusion here, which is number one, does human life have value? Okay? So if the human life has value, then no matter what else you decide, if human life has value, if you don't have a good medical system, that's your maintenance system, then you do not look after human life. And you can dress that up any way you want. That's just a fact. So, when you say, my opinion about it, how do I feel about it? I feel great about it. I grew up with it. I've known it my whole life. I'm pretty healthy. It saved people's lives that I know. It helps a tremendous amount of people. I wish we could do more for it. I wish we could put more money into it. And I wish we could, get some people in there who really know how to refine that so that we can have true, free healthcare from everybody. Do you think healthcare in Canada works? Yes, it does. It could work a whole lot better, but absolutely healthcare in Canada works. Yes, emphatically yes. If and when you are in the hospital, do you get medical care fast, and is it good medical care? Well, fast and good are both relative. You know, relative to what? You know, if I'm relative to the Beverly Hills privately owned clinic that cost me $500,000 an hour, no. It's not good and fast compared to that. It's amazing compared to Somalia. You know, like stellar, really. I mean, you know, I'm also, that said, if you can afford to pay for your own medical, I think you should be able to do that. I don't see a problem with that. You know, if you want to have high-end stuff on the go. You know, but I'd want to have standardization so that you don't have substandard doctors. I mean, if a guy wants to pay to have a private doctor just for him, when he's just the same caliber, he just, you know, wants to have a private doctor for whatever reason, he's a celebrity or whatever. You know, if he wants to have that and he was willing to pay the hundreds of thousands of dollars, why not get that guy off the medical system so he can pay his own way? Why not? Fair ball. He's not going to get nothing better. You know, I mean, well, he might be able to see somebody a little bit faster or what have you, but I mean, he's paying for that, right? So it's not like people aren't getting help. You know, if people want to go faster, that's fine too. But don't ever think that I would ditch socialized healthcare, because the minute you do that, you wind up with the situation that you got in the States. We've got some homeless people in Canada, don't get me wrong. You go down to East Hastings Street in Vancouver, man, and it's a scary place. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people down there. A disproportionate number of them are natives because we've destroyed their culture and completely shattered them psychologically. And, you know, generally they have massive drug dependency problems down there because, you know, we've got kind of a cultural wasteland that's emerging. And people who, from all cultures, you can't, you know, keep up pace with the immigration or people who fall through the cracks. We've got the highest immigration of any country in the world here in Canada. So, you know, there's a lot of turmoil, a lot of change going on here. There's a lot of these people who are coming in here are sick, and they need help, and they got families and stuff. All anybody really wants to do, like, let's be real. Let's be real. And all anybody wants to do is make a little bit of money, have some babies, and not die violently. You know, that's pretty much it. That's the big deal. So if we can use, does having a socialized medical system in Canada help that? You betcha it does. You betcha it does. And maybe, you know, Canada's got a reputation for being the nice guys in the world. You know, we're the nice guys. Sometimes we're suckers. We get all the crappy jobs in World War II and World War I. We're kind of not really, you know, we're like the big hockey player guy who's the friends with the rest of the group, who's usually really quiet and drinks the most beer until somebody says out of line in front of the lady, and then he says, no, 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 no. You know, that's kind of the way Canada is. We're like that, you know? That's why Canadians got something in common with everybody. Really, we do. Because there's so much. Canada's so young, man. It's like 200 years, right? So we got Russians all over the place over there. Russians and Canadians, they'll drink together. Hell yeah, they'll drink together. They won't keep up to the Russians, but they'll drink together. You know? I mean, nobody can outdrink Russians. What are you, nuts? But maybe drag queens. Maybe drag queens could outdrink Russians. And that's saying something. You know, really, maybe some Thai lady boys might be able to do it, but I'd have to get like some Spetsnaz. We'd have to have like the European power drinking championships, you know, but I mean, no good could come of that. You know, no good could possibly come of that. But you see, that's what Canada is. Canada respects the Japanese. We're all like, oh, hey, how's it going? And, you know, the really funny thing is that, you know, you hear the stereotype of, like, the big, you know, white guy going to Japan and he totally gets mobbed by, the, like, all the little Asian people. The difference between Canada and everybody else is that Canada would be like, oh, cool, all these little Asian guys really think I'm awesome. And we just run around and, you know, we'd pose with hockey sticks. We just love that shit. You know, we're great. We're Canadians are good people. You know, generally, on the most part. You know, we've got some of them broke, but generally we're pretty okay. You know, generally. But, you know, we're no more or less okay than our American counterparts, you know, on a cultural bias. I mean, because we're all North American, right? And so if you're in a country that's less than 200 years old, what does it mean to be Canadian? Means that you're just, you come to the realization that there is really no such thing as even a Canadian. You're all like, you know, like if we're all a mixture of people, then we're all essentially earthlings, right? So I don't want to stand up and say, you know, every earthling is a Canadian, but they may as well be, just like every earthling may as well be Japanese. Because what the Japanese do in their water or what they do with their science, that affects, like, the Inuit. You know what I mean? Like, it affects everything. It's a one ball, a little blue ball. Only place with water we found, you know, it's kind of important, you know? So, I mean, even the most psycho, ecological, you know, global warming denying dude's gotta, you know, pretty much understand that, yeah. You know, even if you only believe that it's 23,000 years old, the Earth is pretty precious. You know, God did not want us to destroy this, pretty sure, if you're into that kind of thinking. You know, so, you know, life is good. Life is good. So, in answer to your question, yeah, I dig Canada's healthcare system. Wish there was more of it. Less people dying from sickness is always good. Now, on to sort yourself out. Dishon! Been listening to and watching you do the stuff at RAM for the better part of 3 years now, thanks to a friend that introduced me to you guys. I would really like to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you do. Well, thank you, and I hope it has helped you. I haven't had the greatest last 3 years of my life, mainly because of my own unwillingness to accept reality and grow up, and particularly from a number of outside influences that affected me far too much. Well, you know, we're all just kind of trying to make our way here. And we oftentimes, you know, we think we should be acting this way. You ever notice that we the heroes and the role models we have now don't really exist? Like the Punisher or Jack Bauer or like, you know, people that you look up to, Dude on Heroes, Mr. Spock, you know what I mean? Like the archetypes that we think of as the way to be is, they're not real people. So we have kind of unrealistic sort of goals for ourselves, and I think that messes us up a little bit. You know, I'm just saying. That being said, in order to try to reboot my life, I've decided to take up an invitation from my family and move in with them in Las Vegas. Okay, you know, all right, Las Vegas, you know. I like to call it, anyway, being from the Chicago area, and this is a huge change for me, and as the past will agree, I am not one that copes well with change. I think this will be a good experience for me. It gives me a chance to change to initiate the lifestyle I sorely need. My question to you is this. Do you have any advice for someone who's about to take on such a big move? How would I go about using the momentum from this change to shift the way I live my life more positively? Other than using some of what patrolling teaches, I'd like to know what else you might like to recommend. I don't think I'm quite WOG yet, but I'd like to get there eventually. Wrong! 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 You are WOG not because of what you do. Okay? That's not what makes you WOG. Right? You are WOG the moment you decide you are WOG. After that, it is up to your own judgment. Okay? I have the mindset, but I lack the execution. Then you are WOG. That is it. All you need is a desire to better yourself. You know, that's all you need. Either way, before I get too scatterbrained, I'll end it there. Thanks again. What an exciting time. What an exciting time for you. I mean, because realistically, you could totally redo your whole life right here. So what I would suggest to you right off the top is I would think about very clearly shredding all sense of your former self. We're talking cutting your hair. If you've got any piercings, get rid of them. If you've, depending on if you got a funky haircut, get a normal haircut. If you got long hair, get yourself some short hair. Like, totally format yourself so that you have nothing of your former life with you. and allow yourself to just kind of totally be fresh and new. For the first little while, dress in like normal clothes. You know what I mean? Also, for the first, I'd say, 10 to 15 days, I would pay the most attention whatsoever with doing with your diet, okay? Like, I'd look at something like the Master Cleanser Fast or a variant thereof where you're drinking a lot of water, eat only healthy food, like clean food only, you know, is what I'm talking about here. And that would be the way to do it. And then to go further on with that, I would think that if you need to saturate yourself with positive audio. Brian Tracy, there's a torrent you could probably find called Brian Tracy's The Science of Self-Confidence. And there's also a 28-hour, four-disc set, four-volume set that you can also probably find called, get a hold of it, but all audiobook stuff. I think it's called The Total Success Course. Any of those success teachings, the Brian Allen stuff, any of that stuff. Okay, you want to go and you want to listen to that so that you have an idea about, like, getting things done. A lot of formats. I mean, because there's tons and tons of teaching out there, especially within success circles, for people who just go, you know what, I'm humble enough, I want to get better, I'm all fucked up here, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, how do I do this? And that will help you a lot. What you gotta, I mean, if you don't know what you want, figure out what you don't want. You know, well, I don't want to die old and alone. Okay, well, you know, maybe you should think about a family and stuff like that if that's the direction you're worried about. You know, and, well, I don't really want to have kids, all right? Maybe you don't want to have kids. You know, I'm not sure I'm even straight. Okay, maybe you shouldn't date anybody, you know, until you figure out, you know, which direction you're actually going or figure out who you are. Or just sit it out for a little while. It's okay just to be cool. You know, we got a pretty hypersexualized society. I'm guilty of it, too. I make jokes about sex all the time on the air. But, I mean, realistically, come on, man. Things are pretty out of control with the hypersexualization of everything. I mean, give me a break. It's a little bit messed up, you know? I mean, there's not a single person in the room who thinks that their grandmother would think that a lot of the stuff that goes on the internet's okay. You know, and there's a reason why they're called grandmothers. You know, they kind of know a little, you know, I'm into the respect for seniors thing. You know, that's why Will Smith doesn't swear, and I think he brings up a good point when he says it would upset my grandmother. And that's a powerful statement. That's cross-culturally, that's a powerful statement. You know, so, I don't know. Interesting stuff, but I would definitely recommend that kind of reading. Look into that. You know, look into the self-help books, man. Read it. When you're not reading a self-help book, be listening to a self-help book. If you can't listen, or if you can't read, listen. You know, there's a lot of stuff you can do. And, you know, and drink water. Drink a lot of water. And it's very inspiring, actually. I got to get back on the bandwagon myself. I rolled the weakness that is my ankle the other day. And I've been off. I haven't been able to do anything. I haven't been able to scuba diving. I haven't gone running. I was all crippled on my birthday. Felt like I was old and crappy. I hated it. Did the show, though. But still, it's a pretty, you know, grumpy Sean. So, you know, I kind of fell off the bandwagon there. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you fall off the bandwagon on the health thing, because all that matters is you get back on the health wagon. You know? Failure is a choice. So, let's get into some news and robot takeover news. All right, ready for this? Not robot lovers, but people who love robots. On outsourcing opponents could soon have something in common. The fear that their jobs are at stake. They took their jobs in the future. Robots will take over many tasks performed by American workers, today potentially leading to increased unemployment, said Marshall Bain, founder of How Stuff Works and author of ebook Robotic Nation. In theory, we will all be able to go into perpetual vacations as robots do all the work, Brian told attendees at a presentation at the Singularity Summit in San Jose. Instead, because of the way the economy is structured right now, when robots arrive, it will have a devastating effect on all of us because there are so many unemployed people. The implications of an increasingly automated economy could be dire for society unless we restructure our economy, he urges. This is why I tell people, if they want to know what the field to get into, if they don't know what to study, dude, study robotics. Like, seriously, like, get into robotics. It's the field to seriously be in, I would think. I would think.
While productivity has risen over the year, worker compensation has not kept pace, and there's increasing concentration of wealth, says Bain. Developments in robotics means that technologists could be creating a second intelligent species, claims Bain. So far, no credible evidence to indicate that there is more than one intelligent species is in the universe, which is us, he says. But that changes with robots. Well, you know, we could argue up and down about the no credible thing. I mean, there's a lot of UFO stuff, but anyway. You know, computational power has significantly increased in the last two decades and is growing exponentially. In 1992, computers could perform about 300,000 operations per second. By 2022, it's likely to jump to a trillion operations per second per second, and by 2042, it could be a quadrillion operations per second, predicts Brain, who's like way out there at this point. A $500 machine can do that whenever it happens. Combined with the vision and natural language processing, it could change how we look at robots, he says. Potential applications of robots could then be in use as automations in fast food restaurants, transportation, education, construction, and retail, among other areas. We either have robotic cashiers, robotic stocking, sweeping, help, cart revival at Walmart, says Brain. To deal with that vision of the future, he suggests society should redesign the economy to get the benefits of automation. His solution? Spread the benefit of productivity to everyone by breaking the concentration of wealth, increase pay, and reduce the workload week. Sounds like socialism, doesn't it? The idea provoked questions from attendees. When industrialization first occurred, there were fears of massive unemployment, which never panned out. Why will the integration of robots to the workforce be any different? We didn't create a second intelligent species 150 years ago, says Brain. Now we are doing that with intelligence that will get better and better. Well, he's right. You know, dude's right. You've got, this is something that we need to look at, is that unemployment is going to skyrocket because of robots. So, you know, it's not like he's wrong. The question is the timeline, but I'd put it to you that the WOG approach on something like this would be, well, we know it's going to happen, so let's just hope we have enough time to prepare. You see what I mean? It's because you got to, you know, always, you know, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. In censorship news, this was sent to me by the Renegade Rabbit, who is hot. The problem with the internet, as we all know, is that it gives free rein to loonies. Well, yeah, but wait a minute, some of us loonies out here kind of like that. Once upon a time, green inkers would rant away on writing paper, seal their 30-page global conspiracy theory into a recycled envelope, and post it to a newspaper, which would drop it harmlessly into a waste paper basket. Now they infiltrate chat rooms, scrawl anonymous abuse in web discussions, and even have their own video blogs. Sometimes this is entertaining. Sometimes it could be offensive. So Microsoft has just been awarded a patent for technology designed to automatically detect and remove undesired words and phrases from all manner of digital communications ranging from YouTube broadcasts to internet chats and songs. The patent describes a system that listens out for phonemes? Word for phonemes. Okay, new word. Phonemes. 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 Word fragments likely to be part of a swear word. If it thinks it hears a forbidden phrase, the software either fades out of the offending symbols or simply replaces the word rude word with a similar sounding but clean alternative lifted from an earlier speech without a second's delay. With Microsoft software put in place, my parents, children could listen to the most explicit rap music and hear nothing stronger than gosh darn mother flippers. Theoretically, the software could monitor thousands of digital TV broadcasts, radio stations, and web chats simultaneously. That's all to the good, as long as the targets are trolls. Internet slang for people whose aim to disrupt the web community. Yes, we wouldn't want to, you know, okay, hang on. Hang on now. You know, if you want to institute something like this, this is a great story. There's danger, though, that it could go too far. Who's to say that an overzealous Microsoft employee might not accidentally, on purpose, blacklist the names of rivals such as Apple and Linux? Worse, there are governments around the world that would probably go further still, suppressing dissent not with guns and clubs, but by preventing people from even discussing concepts such as protest or freedom. And I think you'll sure agree, it's a freaking scary idea. Which it is. Which it is, you know. And do I think it's necessary to have media control? Do I think it's necessary to have some level of control of media? Depends on where you are, okay? Now, and you go, what? What are you talking about? Now, for example, if I run a daycare, okay, I'm going to want to have pretty serious control over what is said, what kind of images are exposed to my clients and my clients' children. Okay? Well, the children, I guess, would be my clients. But you see my point, if I'm running a daycare. So, it's not cool, right? So you have to have some, I mean, well, and then people go, well, yeah, that's obvious, Sean, but that's my point. You see, now, the internet, it's not like that. The internet is the Wild West, and the internet should always stay the Wild West. But if you're trying to accomplish something, like, well, let's take this show, for example. This show is inside, currently, inside of a virtual reality environment called the Second Life, right? But, I mean, this didn't just miracle here. You know, people made this. Somebody owns this piece of property. I'm a guest here doing this. And there are rules within this dimension. Not every WOG is here inside of Second Life. I mean, there's like 20 WOGs. It's just one thing. It's this person's section of control. Maybe someone will come up with a better one. You know, maybe someone will come up with something that's, you know, more positive, or they got a different spin on things. But for the time being, this is how it is. And the rules that we're making in this little area are going to stand and be in effect. And that's just, that's how you got to do it. Why? Because it makes sense. Because it's a controlled environment. Because you are trying to have a controlled environment to accomplish a task. The internet isn't like that, though. The internet is chaos. It's supposed to be chaos. You're supposed to have 10,000 tons of everything out there. You know, and honestly, if having that 10,000 stuff and tons out there makes us able to hunt down and track down and capture pedophiles and destroy them, all be it. Okay, have them up there. I'm all for a transparent web. You betcha. Let's get it going on. Do I think being anonymous is important? Yeah, I suppose there's some certain strengths to it, but it's a double-sided coin all the time. Right? So nothing's ever really simple. Nothing's ever really simple. But do I think that Microsoft should be patenting, you know, complete ownership of everything? Well, they can mess around with the technology. I think it will be pretty hard to implement, but it'll be interesting to see how this develops. In BitRot news, what stands a better chance of surviving 50 years from now? A framed photographed or a 10-megabyte digital photo of your computer's hard drive? Or on your computer's hard drive? Well, this is the most... Okay, right off the top, don't shit yourself. It's going to be the photo. It's going to be the photo, all right? Because the hard drive, you ever tried to boot up like a 50-year... Like, it's a retarded question. The framed photograph will inevitably fade and yellow over time. Yeah, it will, I suppose. But the digital photo file may be unreadable to future computers. And unintended consequences for our rapidly digitization world that may ultimately lead to a digital dark age, says Jerome P. McDonough, assistant professor of the Graduate School of Library and Information Science at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. According to McDonough, the issue of a looming digital dark age originates from the mass of data spawned by our ever-growing information economy. Last count, 369 exabytes worth of data, including electronic records, tax files, email, music, photos, for starters. An exabyte is one quintillion bytes, or a quintillion is the number 1 followed by 18 zeros. The concern for archivists and information scientists like McDonough is that with ever-shifting platforms and file formats, much of the data we produce today could eventually fall into a black hole of inaccessibility, which is kind of where a lot of books are that have been scanned and put online yet. So I'd be more worried about that digital dark age than some sort of standardization where somebody could make money. You know, Drobo for everyone. Contrary to popular belief, electronic data has proven to be much more of an ephemeral than books, journals, or pieces of plastic or plastic art. After all, when was the last time you opened a WordPerfect file and tried to read an 8-inch floppy disk? Even over the course of the last 10 years, you can have a rapid enough evolution in the ways of people store digital information and the programs they use to access it, that file formats can fall out of date, said McDonald. Magnetic tape, which stores most of the world's computer backups, can degrade within a decade. According to National Archives website, in the mid-1970s, only two machines could read data from the 1960s U.S. Census. One was in Japan, the other was in the Smithsonian Institution. Some of the data collected from NASA's 1976 Viking landing on Mars is unreadable and lost forever. Not so good. Not so good when you lose the Mars data. You know, kind of pisses me off there. So where's that going to go, you know? What are you doing to make sure that your data is in place? Let's be real, most of us are pretty data sloppy. I know I am. You know, I got a digital footprint like Bigfoot over here, but I mean, seriously speaking, we really should take more care of our data. The only guy who really knows anything about patrolling is Sim. I mean, the guy's a genius when it comes to how to store his data and what he uses for it. I mean, we are all out there. We're fairly technically competent. We have to be in order to show up at the show. It's the barrier to entry. Realistically, we should have control of our data, and we should know where our data is, just in case we need to destroy it all so it doesn't get used to frame us. You see what I'm saying? Makes a lot of sense. You know, don't be a litter bug. In Cyberscape news. Gotta have the Cyberscape news. Gotta have it. This is the Emergent Realm. This is the Emergent Realm, let me tell you. And I'm sorry that you'll notice that in this show, the grid coordinates for where we broadcast the show change. And it will change again. It will change again. That's why I date the show every single time, so you know where we're at. But no doubt it will change again, and hopefully we'll all like... I got this really cool idea for, you know, kind of creating a WOGnet somehow. It's kind of out there right now. I'm going to have to put it in a couple of books or something, but I've been talking to Baldy about it. He knows what's going on, and he's on board with it. So, you know, hey, I like an augmented reality that you could dial your head into, and suddenly you're in WOG world. You know, someplace that where the people who you trust have control. You know, I mean, that would be okay. Or maybe there'd be control mechanisms in place that make it so that nothing would get fucked up. I don't know how I would operate. I don't have all the solutions here, but it's an interesting concept. And I think the virtual worlds and GPS overlay are a big part of that. Big part of that. But anyway, in Cyberscape news, virtual worlds such as Second Life have a bright future, according to experts, especially as businesses start to realize how they can be used for collaboration within their organizations and with their customers. A couple of years ago, big names in tech and business were rushing to capitalize on Second Life's popularity by building islands, headquarters in virtual world, or using it to sell products in a novel way. Now see, this is the problem, is that these guys didn't know what they were doing. But since that initial rush, things have quieted down. Media coverage of Virtual World has subsided, and some early adopters have abandoned their virtual activities after failing to reap benefits from the medium. So are Virtual Worlds dead? Hardly! Now experts predict the Virtual World phenomenon is entering a second phase in which businesses become shrewder about their involvement in such environments and look more carefully at the tangible benefits they can realize. Emerging technology specialist at IBM, Robert Smart, is confident Virtual Worlds will become more important to business in coming years. He told Silicon.com, we're seeing businesses look at virtual worlds much more seriously and say, if we're going to invest money in this, how can we get back? How can this benefit us? Matt Brotherton, project manager at Applied Technology Center at BT's chief technology office, agreed. He told Silicon.com, people are taking a step back and trying to look at what the real beneficial uses are. One example of this, he said, is a turnabout from the public splashes companies made when creating virtual headquarters in Second Life and other worlds. Now businesses are quietly creating private islands to experiment with technology before opening the venture up to customers. David Naylor, partner at the law firm Field Fisher Waterhouse, which has a presence in Second Life, said businesses are becoming more interested in virtual world technology and are finding a more sensible and commercial uses for it. The hype has died down, he said, but you're seeing a greater volume of more measured media attention and corporate involvement and communication around the virtual worlds without it being quite so fashionably and wildly enthusiastic. Now, I think there's a lot of... I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, I think that there's a point when you have to look at some of the stuff that's going on inside of Second Life, and you can think, you know, hey, there's got to be some ways to make money with this. You know, there's got to be some ways to make some serious cash with this. So, I don't know, man. I think it's okay to make money. I think that's a good thing. You need to have that so that you can, because money is just a method of gathering power so that you can do things, right? But you have to figure out what it is you want to do. And not everyone has to agree, but the people who agree with you have to be people of a certain amount of will. And this is why I'm a big fan of Robert Heinlein. If you haven't done any reading on Robert Heinlein, you got to check out his stuff. He's got some really interesting methods of thinking that I think a lot of people would really dig. It's from guys like Robert Heinlein that we get the ideas, a lot of the concept of cyberpunk about, you know, he's one of the greats of science fiction. Let's cut the crap. But, you know, cyberpunk, they were called hackers, they were called deckers, right? And deckers were called deckers because back in the day, people, when they were thinking about what hackers would be, they thought everything would be like the keyboard cowboy, right? It would all be this deck, which you were typing on. So they call it their deck. You know, it never actually happened. But that's where the word Decker comes from. It's from the original cyberpunk role-playing game, which was, you know, around, well, before cyberpunk was really even known. I mean, it was like a geek thing way back then. So that's where the Decker news comes from. So a lot of these Shadowrun-type stories are pretty wild. And this is sent in by M, thank you very much. Former IT engineer Stephen Barnes has been sentenced to 1 year in prison after pleading guilty to computer intrusion charges. But wait till you hear how it happened. Barnes, one of the all-time... A one-time employee of Akimbo Systems, then known as Blue Falcon Networks, was angry at the way the company had terminated his contract. According to his testimony, multiple company representatives showed up at his home. So the company guys show up at your house in 2003. One of them was carrying a baseball bat. So you got dudes show up at your house with baseball bats. What kind of a company are you working for? And you work for Akimbo. Like, wow, how shadow... That's a Johnny Mnemonic script right there. Akimbo personally... reportedly seized both Barnes' work and personal computers. It's unclear if the latter were ever returned to him. So, they show up, your boss shows up and, like, tries to take all your shit. Yeah, you know, in America? Are you insane? Like, you'll get shot! Actually, it's also unclear why Barnes would allow the group into his home or fail to report the situation to the police. Yeah, pretty sketchy. Baseball-wielding MBAs with delusions of thuggery don't exactly qualify as a member of a police force. Some 5 months later, on September 30th, Barnes decided to test a series of corporate login passwords that he knew, even though he assumed they were now invalid. He told PC World, "To my complete disbelief, I soon realized they had no firewall and the passwords were not even changed. The smart thing to do, you should find yourself in a similar situation, gentle readers, is to log right the heck out. It's entirely possible the system admin has ordered the server to flag certain usernames in case a person does log on. If you suspect your employee was really going to try to pull something, keeping an eye on him might be actually more useful than locking him out. But if you can't resist the urge to snoop around a bit, confine your snooping to snooping. This isn't the smartest idea. I don't recommend it, but you are going to do anything to call attention to yourself or cause malicious harm. What you don't want to do is precisely what Stephen Barnes actually did. Once he realized he had full system access, the former manager turned the company's email server into an open relay server, deleted the company's Microsoft Exchange email database, and futzed around with the OS installation one way or another to ensure the server would crash on boot. Akimbo testified in court that he was unable to receive new email or access old messages, keeping local copies of your email, kids, if you can. The company was blacklisted by multiple spam-fighting organizations. Dirty spammers. Barnes claims he was struggling with drug and alcohol addictions at the time, which would sort of make sense. He'd practically have to be high to think he'd get away with this. He'll serve a year and a day in prison beginning in January 8th, 2009, and has been ordered to pay $54,000 in restitution and spend 3 years on probation following his release. Wow. Wow. That's pretty heavy, you know. So, what did we learn here? Don't get caught. In cyborg news, researchers at Johns Hopkins University have designed a self-assembling electronic wire which is destined for use inside the human body. The organic wire is water-soluble, is made of lightweight carbon materials, and many wires like these could power pacemakers, stimulate organic function, and reconnect damaged nerve tissue. Yeah, baby. Although we will not transform ourselves into Borgs or robots, these organic wires will help paralyzed people restore their nerve fibers to their self-assembly process. These wires, thanks to their self-assembly process. Let me try that again. Although this will not transform ourselves into Borgs or robots, these organic wires will help paralyzed people to restore their nerve fibers thanks to the self-assembly process. These wires are 10,000 times thinner than a human hair and have the possibility to interact with individual cells from our body. Once the nerve cells are reconnected, paralytics will regain their mobility. Server provides, man, and the lame shall walk. I'm like, yeah, I'll take some of that. Thank you, science. Thank you. Thank you, animal experimentation. Thank you for that. Sorry. That's what science is. Sometimes you have to do that sort of stuff, you know? But, that's exciting, because I know people who are crippled, you know? And wouldn't it be great? Could you imagine, you know, get back to that socialized healthcare thing, could you imagine being like some child, you grow up in some shithole refugee camp somewhere, And you get on a boat and you go to another country and everything's very different there. And you see things you've never seen before and there's lights. And your whole life you've never been able to walk because you were born that way. And you go in there and you're not too sure what's going on. They stick you with some needles. You wake up and suddenly you can walk. And you've got these wires going in you, but they've improved you. They fixed you somehow. And they paid for it too. Because they think you're important because your life has value. Wow. That sounds pretty utopian to me. I think that's worthy of striving for, don't you? Also, in censorship news, this is presented by Dark Harmonics, thank you very much. Australia will join China in implementing mandatory censoring of the internet under plans put forward by the federal government. As revelations emerge about U.S. tech giants Google, Microsoft, and Yahoo, and Coalition of Human Rights and other groups unveiled a code of conduct aimed at safeguarding online freedom of speech and privacy. Very good stuff. It's nice that Microsoft did that, and they also got that patent thing going on. But anyway, the government has declared it will not let internet users opt out of the proposed national internet filter. It will not let users opt out of that. The plan was first created as a way to combat child pornography and adult content, but it could be extended to include controversial websites on euthanasia or anorexia. Interesting. Interesting stuff. So basically, they want to get up the Great Firewall of Australia, put that in place, and if you try to circumvent it, you're going to start breaking the laws. Anybody else thinking this is looking fairly much like a Ghost in the Shell movie? Sound out if you think so. I mean, honestly, it really is. Everything's getting more and more Blade Runner by the minute. There's the films you want to watch. You want to go get yourself a copy of Blade Runner. Then you want to go and watch all the Ghost in the Shell stuff, especially Standalone Complex Season 1, out freaking standing. Some of the best animation ever made. Then the first Matrix film, and if it's up your nose, you can probably, you know, if it's really up your alley, you can go for the whole, you know, the second and the third one. But let's be real, the first film is really where it was at. You know, then you want to watch a bunch of your old Max Headroom movies, because you can't leave those alone. You know, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. And, of course, let's not forget role-playing games. Get together with your friends, small groups of WOGs, four or five-man units. Actually, you know what? You know what's the ultimate furry game? I was thinking about this the other one. The ultimate furry game is every single furry on the planet should be playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm here to tell you. It's like it's designed for those guys. But anyway, those guys. This is why I'd never be a president. You know, I was watching some of the stuff that, I was watching some of the stuff they're landing on Obama about, you know what I mean? Like, and McCain, too. I mean, Jesus Christ. You get these spin doctors in there, and they grab a hold of these people, and what they actually mean, it turns into this bizarre fucking chess match. You know? You get some straight shooter up there. I mean, Sarah Palin's probably a really nice lady. You know, she probably is. You know, if you had a chance to go spend a bunch of money on a government ticket and live the dream, you'd be so overwhelmed, dude. You know, and there's people out there who are more dumb and less dumb than she is. She's pretty good. She's pretty cute. I mean, come on. You know. Whatever. And, you know, hey. She knows how to hunt. That's a plus. You know, she's useful. You know, post-apocalyptic situation. You got a good-looking chick who's been the vice president who knows how to hunt. Sounds like a pretty good woman to me. You know, I would say. Anyway, back to the role-playing games. Shadowrun. And speaking of which, Shadowrun news. An Iranian ship... this is interesting. An Iranian ship captured by Somali pirates carrying sealed containers of a powdery substance believed to be nuclear or chemical weapons agents. Western intelligence agencies have been monitoring the capture of an Iran Dinyat, seized by Somali pirates on August 21st. The cargo ship, owned and operated by a state-owned Islamic Republic of Iran Shipping Lines, or IRASIL, contained sealed cargo linked to the death of 16 pirates. In September 2008, IRASIL came under U.S. sanctions as a company that helps Iran's nuclear and other strategic sanctions, Middle East Newsline reported. Industry sources say the ship's crew of 29, half of them Iranians, have reportedly left China on July 28th and would neither disclose the exact contents of the cargo nor provide the code to open the sealed containers. So China is going from China to Iran, jacked by pirates. Pirates open the containers. They all die. 40 pirates armed with rocket-propelled grenades, assault rifles, boarded the Iranian ship, owned by the Islamic blah, blah, blah. About 130 kilometers southeast of Yemen, Iran Dinyat registered carried sealed cargo of 42,000 tons of minerals, industrial products. And goes on to say that, yeah, they think they found chemical weapons there. But what an interesting way to find it. You know what I mean? And I got some cyberpunk kit here, too. This is a good one. Some cyberpunk kit. We got vegetarian teeth. This is so cyberpunk it hurts. They're like custom-made teeth you could put inside your head so that you become, like, a better vegetarian. I'm not making this up, but if that doesn't get you, we also got the tooth phone. This thing is sweet. The tooth phone consists of a tiny vibrator and a radio wave receiver implanted in a tooth during a routine dental surgery. Sound, which comes into the tooth, is a digital radio signal transferred to the inner ear by bone resonance, meaning the information can be received anywhere at any time, nobody else listening in. However, the telephone tooth does not allow people to talk back or callers to make outgoing calls. Wow. That's pretty sweet, though. Gotta say. You know, somebody playing cards could use something like that, I would say. And finally, we got... I don't even think it's finally. We got Sumerian's disease. This was another Afternow thing I made up. There's a disease in the book called Sumerian's disease. And this is a disease they make up. It's actually the actual name of the disease. They're calling it orthorexia nervosa. It's called healthy eating. You think I'm joking about this. Okay, and they're going to create drugs for this to try to poison your brain because you're concerned with eating healthy. I'm not making this up. The people suffering from this obsession, okay, because that's a neurosis. Obsession's a neurosis. May display the following signs. Spending more than 3 hours a day thinking about healthy food. Are you kidding? Planning tomorrow's menu today. Feeling virtuous about what they eat, but not enjoying it much. Continually limiting the number of foods that they eat, experiencing a reduced quality of life or social isolation because their diet makes it difficult for them to eat anywhere but home, feeling critical about others who do not eat as well as they do, skipping foods that once enjoyed in order to eat the right foods, feeling guilt or self-loathing when they stray from their diet, feeling total control when they eat the correct diet. I mean, this is insane! Just because somebody wants to be in control of what they put in their body, you're going to play that card? You're going to sit there and say, like, dude, you're... Like, that's insane. That's totally nuts. But that's what they're going to do. And you can bet that they're going to start poisoning kids with drugs if they're concerned about what they eat. So, you know, don't be concerned about being healthy, but don't appear to be too concerned. Holy cow. And in slave clone news, this is some scary stuff here. Listen to this one. Thanks to RU46 for this one there, big guy. Britain's lower house of parliament has approved legislation that allows scientists to create human-animal embryos for medical research, the biggest shake-up of embryology laws in two decades. Despite opposition from religious and pro-life groups, MPs in the House of Commons today backed the Human Embryology and Fertilization Bill by 355 votes to 129. Well, now they'll go to a vote in the House of Lords. Could be law by November. The wide-ranging bill, which has been debated for months, will also allow savior siblings. Oh, baby, this is the money right here. The wide-reaching bill will also allow savior siblings, children created as a close genetic match for a sick brother or sister so their genetic material can help treat them. So, well, how about the whole savior siblings with my spare organs? That's cool. They made a movie about that. It's called The Island for the Win. Holy cow. And let's not forget keeping our dad in line. That's going to be what's going on with our daily hack today. Our daily hack today is Helix, meeting your live forensics needs. Helix is the easy-to-use, fast and powerful live CD. Has everything you need for live forensics, incident response, and e-discovery requirements. Helix is a customized distribution of Ubuntu Linux. Helix is more than just a bootable live CD. You can boot it into a custom Linux environment that includes customized Linux kernels, excellent hardware detection, and many applications dedicated to incident response and forensics. Very cool stuff. Make sure you check that out. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care, by those loyal awesomeness ninjas who are actually working on a better tomorrow, who are responsible for electing Obama. Thank you very much. Mr. Obama, please don't fuck that up. I know you listen to the show, as do most of the world leaders. As well, honestly, I think Mr. Obama and Mr. Putin and I should all go skeet shooting sometime. I think it'd be a good time. You know, honestly. I mean, Putin, come on. Honestly, if you're gonna have somebody backing you up in a bar fight, I'd want Putin. Out of all the world leaders, you know, I definitely want Putin. You know, he seems like an okay guy. Seems like an okay guy. Wouldn't want to mess with him. I don't want to get on the business side of Putin. kill you with, like, radiation and stuff. You know, but, you know, if you're going to be friends with a dude, I'd sooner be friends with that guy. Yeah, it'd be a good dude. You know, we'd sort it out. We'd all get drunk, have a good time, fix it. All right. But if you can, if you can donate to the show, please do that. But if you can't donate, please do distribute. If you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab at the Dark Atlas website or send an envelope to Ray Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56 Street, Delta PC, Canada, V4M2M4. But what's a better idea is for you to hit the little subscribe thing. And if you think that, you know, 4 hours of entertainment a month is worth buying me a beer, please do so. Just subscribe, $5 a month. You probably lose that change in the car. It really, really makes a difference in my life. And very soon, if you want to see more media, I got to finance it, guys. This stuff takes a little bit of money. So please and thank you. And thank you so much to the people who currently do subscribe. I don't have the words. I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. And if you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@randradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. And I don't know who the artist is who did this, but I found it on YouTube. And it's this kid, he's just a young guy, and he did the song called I Can Do Whatever I Like. And it's supposedly by Obama, but I really think it's very, very funny. And it's awesome. So remember, everyone, we'll never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, hey, that's what server said. End of line.
Oh, yes, may I speak with Senator Joe Biden? Oh, sorry about that. May I speak with Vice President Joe Biden, please? Sure, I'll hold.
Hey, Biden, when the old presidents got in office for the first time, I know they were thinking, I can do whatever I like. I can do whatever I like. Now check this out.
First black press, now ain't that nice? I'm in the highest office, that's right. Now I can do whatever I like. Now I can do whatever I like. Yeah. So what? I'm half black and half white. So what? I fist bump with my wife. Man, I can do whatever I like. Man, I can do whatever I like.
Listen up.
McCain, I thought that you knew by debate number two that I was gonna win and there was nothing that you could do. You were getting so upset by the third debate, I swear to God, I think I saw a tear. Look, I picked Joe Biden out, this one's right. Long as y'all got me, you won't need nobody. You want it, I gotta propose it. I'll sign it, tell the Republicans to be quiet.
I got this.
First black press, now ain't that nice? I'm in the highest office, that's right. Now I can do whatever I like. Now I can do whatever I like. So what? I'm half black and half white. So what? I fist bump with my wife. Man, I can do whatever I like. Man, I can do whatever I like. Palin was the hottest mess that ran for office. She spoke so odd, I could have swore it was a comic skit. She got people excited, but still she couldn't stop this. I won all three debates, if you got it, then you got it. Now I'm trying to put money back in your wallet. Soon as I fix this financial crisis, there's a long list of things I really gotta fix. Like no more shady healthcare, you can get what I get. My country can have what it wants. McCain can have a seat and think about what he did wrong. I bet you ain't never had a prez like that that gives amazing speeches then turns around and raps. Look, I picked Joe Biden, now this one's right. Long as y'all got me, you won't need nobody. You want it, I gotta propose it. I'll sign it, tell them Republicans to be quiet.
I got this.
First black press, now ain't that nice? I'm in the highest office, that's right. Now I can do whatever I like. Now I can do whatever I like. So what? I'm half black and half white. So what? I fist bump with my wife. Man, I can do whatever I like. Man, I can do whatever I like.
Hey, Joe Biden, drop the beat for a second.
I'm talking black press rides and black press ice for at least the next 4 years. That's tight. America's upset. And I'm just right. Time to put this black press in your life. That's right. I picked Joe Biden. Now this one's right. Long as y'all got me, you won't need nobody.
you want it, I got it. Propose it, I'll sign it. Tell them Republicans to be quiet.
I got this.
First black press. Now ain't that nice? I'm in the highest office, that's right. Now I can do whatever I like. Now I can do whatever I like. And half white.
White.
So what I fist bump with my wife, man, I can do whatever I like.
I like.
I can do whatever I like.
I like, yeah.